And good morning, everyone. Would you join me in giving praise to God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. My wife Debbie and I are happy to be here together today. Debbie, would you stand? My wife and I have been married 15,450 days. And she is an awesome lady. And we've had some really, really, really terrific days. And then we've had some tough days. But we have found, like you, that God is faithful through it all. And we're so, so very, very happy to be here at Community Church of Portage Lakes. Thank you, Pastor. Would you join me in giving God praise for the pastor and your pastoral team at your church? What a gift they are to you. God bless you. Thank you so much. If Coke can, we can. Coca-Cola has its roots in Atlanta, Georgia, May 18th, 1886. The first Coca-Cola syrup was prepared in a three-legged brass pot in the backyard of Dr. Pemberton. He took his new creation to Jacob's Pharmacy in Atlanta, and they started selling Coca-Cola. 5 cents a drink. Average sales for the first year for Coca-Cola were a whopping 9 drinks a day for the whole country. Total profit for the first year for Coca-Cola, $50. And from that humble beginning has grown a product whose brand is known all over the world. In fact, today, Coca-Cola is selling more than 1 million drinks a minute around the world. That's 1.4 billion drinks every single day. If you were to take all the Coke that's ever been produced and put them in these cans and stack them next to Mount Everest, there would be 20 million columns of Coke stretching 27,000 feet into the air to hold all the sugar water that's ever been produced by Coca-Cola. If you were to take these same cans and put them in those big trucks that deliver Coca-Cola to the grocery stores, and go out and stand on the interstate, and if these trucks would pass by full of Coca-Cola, bumper to bumper at 65 miles an hour, it would take more than 5 years, 5 months, and 5 days for all the Coke to pass by that certain point. If you were to take all the Coke that's ever been produced and put them in those 8-ounce hobble skirt bottles, the old glass bottles, there would be more than 2.5 trillion bottles. And if you were to lay them end to end, they would encircle the earth at the equator over 12,000 times, or stretch to the moon and back 1,200 times. Now, if you're thinking this morning, you might be asking, so why would Pastor Mike and Dawn and the missions board ask someone to come on Mission Sunday and share these statistics about Coca-Cola? That's a really good question. Because the fact of the matter is, Coca-Cola has been on a mission for many, many years. Robert Woodruff, who was the president, CEO of Coca-Cola, from 1923 to 1954, cast this vision. He said, "It is my desire that everybody in the world would have a taste of Coca-Cola before they die. It's my desire that everyone in the world would have a taste of Coca-Cola before they die." And so I ask you, my brothers and sisters at Community Church this morning, if that is the vision of Coca-Cola, should it not be our passion? Should it not be our desire that every person in the world would have a taste of Jesus before they die? That every single person in the world would at least one time hear the good news of Jesus Christ? That he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and he rose again, And that he's coming back for us and we can experience his presence forever in heaven. Shouldn't everyone in the world have the opportunity to hear that message at least one time? That's why we're having this missions fair this morning. And that's why in a few moments, each of us will be given an opportunity to make a faith promise commitment above and beyond the tithe for the next 12 months to send the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. This is Missions Fair weekend at this church. We dedicated this time so that we could lift our eyes to the world and see the opportunities that are there and how we can partner together to share this good news of Jesus Christ with so many people. If you have your copy of the inspired and errant, infallible Word of God, would you either open it up or turn it on, please, to the book of Mark chapter 16. Some of us have, how many of you have a fiber Bible? You raise your Bible, you have a fiber Bible, lots of paper. How many have a cyber Bible? Okay, so you have a cyber Bible, a fiber Bible. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. These are the last words of Jesus. And indeed, his last command ought to be our first concern. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, these miracles will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And it's a powerful conjunction. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the privilege of sharing it today. And I thank you that your word will find a place in our hearts and produce fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's the big idea for today's message. It's simply this, that the whole purpose of the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Would you join me in saying that aloud? The whole purpose of the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world. And so for the remainder of this message, I'm going to incorporate stories of missionaries and ministries that your church supports. Preaching a message on missions, we could draw from great missionary statesmen of the past and tell great stories from David Livingstone and others. But I want to share stories of people that some of you know and people whose ministries and missions are doing a great work around the world. Because we're committed here at this church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Frank, that's why you're having Trunk or Treat in a couple of weeks. Why? Because we want to take the whole gospel to the whole world, beginning with people who live right here in this neighborhood. So I've been in contact with a number of your missionaries and ministries over the last several weeks in preparation for today. I've had conversation with Aaron and Katie Golby. They are ministries that you support in Slovenia. And Katie was sharing with me that when they arrived there, she needed to learn the language, the Slovene language. And so she found Petra, to be her language helper. Petra did not know Jesus. For 9 months, they grew a friendship. And after about 9 months, it was November of last year, almost a year ago, that Katie said to Petra, "I'd like to be able to talk to people in our country about Jesus in the Slovene language. Would you help me? And I would like to share the good news of Jesus with you. Would you be open to that?" And so she began to learn how to share the good news of Jesus in the Slovene language. And she planted the seed of God's word in the heart of her language helper, Petra. And just one day before their little boy, Titus, was born, earlier this year, Katie had the privilege of leading Petra to Jesus Christ. She had the privilege of sharing the good news with her, and Petra has opened up her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's why we're here today. We're here because we have a message that the world needs. The whole purpose of the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world. If we're going to do that, these verses tell us that we need at least three things. First of all, it requires a personal commitment. Notice in verse 15, he said to them, go, go, you go. That wasn't just for them. It's not just for the evangelists. That's not just for missionaries. That's just not for the Billy Grahams of this world. It's not just for the Pastor Mikes of this world. It's for each of us who are a child of God. In fact, I've come to believe that if we're not a missionary, we're a mission field. Each of us is responsible to help take the good news into our neighborhoods and around the world through our prayers and through our giving and through our sharing and through our going and through our caring. It requires a personal commitment. Would you notice the verses in Romans chapter 10 we've read so often? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on the one who they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one if they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can someone preach unless they are sent. That's why we're having this weekend. That's why the missions board has worked so diligently, and missionaries have joined us in ministries that you can see over in the gymnasium with their booths. That's why we're here today, for a singular purpose, and that is to join our hearts together and to commit our financial resources and our prayers so that we can send missionaries all over the world, beginning right here in our community. I had a conversation with Dale Kincaid earlier today. Dale is with the Christian Service Brigade, and some of you know him and his family. They've been coming here to this convention for a long time. But he shared with me the story that had been sent to him not long ago from a mom in Warren, Ohio. And she said, "Dear Dale, thank you so much for the ministry of Christian Service Brigade." So my son Evan was born and raised in the church. He accepted Jesus as his Savior at a young age. But when his older brother died of a brain tumor, Evan went into a very dark place. It was very difficult for him. He began to withdraw, and he began to act in ways that he had not acted before. And we were really concerned for Evan. So we gave him a choice. And while we don't really like to force our children to go to church, we did say he either had to go to youth group or to Christian Service Brigade. And so he chose the Christian Service Brigade that they call the battalion. And he began to attend the battalion, though he, to be honest, didn't really want to be there. But she said as a result of what he learned there, as a result of the friendships he made there, his life began to change. His second year, she said, he was made a leader in the group, a leader. And as part of the leadership, he was asked to read his Bible and do a prayer journal every day. And as he began to read his Bible and pray, she said, his life began to change. We saw change in his attitude toward authority. We saw he just blossom and grow. And she said, it's been 2 years now, and Evan isn't the same young man that he was. She said, thank you, Christian Service Brigade, for helping Evan to become the man of God, the young man that God's called him to be. I share that story because you're a part of it. Through your offerings, you're supporting the Christian Service Brigade, and you've had a part in helping change a young man's life and set him on a new path in Warren, Ohio. Earlier this morning, I talked to Christine Patch. She does a powerful ministry along with her husband in the Ukraine and other countries in that area. She was sharing with me that this just not long ago, in one community, 127 children accepted Jesus as their Savior in one crusade. Isn't that awesome? Would you join me in giving God? I think that deserves a clap offering of praise. Yeah, God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And here, this ministry is reaching young people, children and young people. She told particularly about a young lady by the name of Nicole in a town called Shcherbanka, right near the Ukraine border. She told about Nicole, who came from a very, very poor home. She has siblings, and Nicole was born prematurely, was always a bit sickly. But she began to attend the church that Pastor Yuri pastored, and he would go every Sunday morning and every Wednesday, and he'd pick her and her siblings up, take them early so that he could feed them because they were very poor and didn't have good nourishment, nutrition at home. And during a recent Bible club, Nicole gave her life to Jesus Christ. And the whole trajectory of her life has been transformed and changed because of a Bible club. For $12.50 per child, per week, we can take the gospel of Jesus Christ to children who will never, ever otherwise hear the gospel of the Lord. She shared how that a little girl in the United States, just 5 years of age, heard about Nicole, and she decided to raise, as a five-year-old, she gave $12.50 to help take the gospel of Jesus Christ to that part of the world. God is at work, and if we're going to take the whole gospel to the whole world, it requires a personal commitment, not only on the part of the missionaries who go, but on our part to send them. I had the privilege the last couple of weeks of talking to Brett Ferris. Some of you know Brett. He's the executive director of Pregnancy Solution and Services right in this neighborhood. And I believe, Pastor, you serve on the board of that fabulous ministry. He was telling me about a young lady by the name of Ray. She and her husband, Mike, got married about 10 years ago. And they went on their honeymoon, came back from their honeymoon, and shortly thereafter found out she was pregnant, and they were not ready for a pregnancy that early in their marriage. In fact, Mike said, we can't do this. We can't have this baby. He said, maybe we need to consider abortion. He said, besides, having an abortion is cheaper than raising a baby. Rhea said, well, what if we had an ultrasound just to check? And so she went online and she came across a ministry right here in this neighborhood that you support through your volunteerism and your prayers and through your financial support. And she made an appointment and she went in. They had an ultrasound. And after seeing the ultrasound, she related, there's a little human being in there with a beating heart. A little human being with a beating heart. Michael said, who had just said, we can't have this baby, he said, we can't abort this baby. Let's watch the rest of the story.
Angel was born at 8 pounds, 5 ounces, and he was 21 and a half inches at birth. He was born on February 17th, 2008, which was exactly his due date. He was just gorgeous. He was just a beautiful baby. Now he's 8 and a half years old. He's so talkative. He's funny. He's bright. There are times when I'm walking through the kitchen or just helping him with his homework, and I'll start to tear up because I look at Angel and I see all the things that he's done over the years and how I could have erased that. And I'm just so grateful to God, to Pregnancy Solutions, to the RV for allowing me to have my son. The ultrasound saved my son's life. If it weren't for the RV and the Pregnancy Solutions, I don't think he would be here today. Now we have 4 and 1 more on the way, and every time we see a positive pregnancy test or a little ultrasound, we say it was in God's plan, and anything He gives to us, He will help us through. It may be hard, but He will never abandon us.
He will never abandon us. Isn't that a powerful story? Wow. In the last 10 years, this ministry has saved over 1,500 babies from abortion. Over 1,500 children are living in this area because of the ministry that you help support. This requires a personal commitment. But secondly, if we're going to take the whole gospel to the whole world, it requires a powerful God. I love verse 20. For verse 20 says, "And they went out and they preached the word everywhere, and the Lord did what? The Lord worked with them and confirmed His word," not our word, but His word, "with miracles and signs." See, the very best that we have to offer is not good enough. We still need the power of God. It requires a personal commitment, but much more. It requires a personal and a powerful God who is working in us and through us to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Charles Vaughn, it's another mission work that you support, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with inmates. And Chaplain Vaughn shared with me the last 2 weeks ago that among the many stories of God's grace, a 16-year-old boy came to his facility and he began to share the love of Jesus with that young man. The young man accepted Christ as his Savior. He got his GED. He's now out of incarceration. He's a young adult, and he's running a heating and air conditioning business in the area. See, God touched him at his point of need in a place where you and I would never be, but Chaplain Vaughn can be there, and you help make that possible because we serve a powerful, powerful God. How many of you have heard of the ministry of Gideons? Hear that ministry? They put Bibles in hotels. They give Bibles to students, give Bibles to military personnel. So here's just one story. So Bill was in a hotel in June of 2016 in Cincinnati. He went into that hotel, he locked the room, the door. He pulled out his 22-gauge pistol, laid it on the bed, turned up the TV, intending to kill himself. He felt that life was hopeless for him. His wife of 24 years had just told him that she had been having multiple affairs and was leaving him. She told him that very likely 3 of their 4 children did not belong to him. He shared that his 23-year-old son had been arrested repeatedly. His 19-year-old daughter had been arrested multiple times for drugs and prostitution. His 17-year-old boy was in a gang in Columbus, and his 13-year-old boy was living at home. And then just the week before, he had learned that after 25 years of it being in the company, they had merged with another company and he was going to lose his sales job. And for the first time in his life, be without employment. And it all seemed so overwhelming to him that he decided to check into the Quality Inn in Cincinnati and take his life. He opened the door by the bed to get a piece of paper and a pen to write a note to his family and to say, "I'm sorry." And as he opened the drawer, guess what he found? A Gideon Bible. He had not read the Bible as a young person or adult. He had gone to vacation Bible school. Thank God for vacation Bible school. Thank God for ministries that reach the hearts of little children. So he just began to thumb through the Bible. And for some reason, he was captivated. He began to read Matthew and then Mark and then the book of John. By the time he got to the book of John, he said tears were were coming down his face, for he realized for the first time that God loved him. And there's a prayer in the Gideon Bible, in the book there, right in the front, you can read a prayer to pray to accept Jesus, and he did so. And he sensed God's presence, and he decided then and there not to take his life. Subsequently, 4 weeks later, he was back in that same hotel, but this time, he had with a job for the company that had taken over his company, offered him a job as a regional sales manager. And though his marriage didn't survive, he has a relationship with each of his children. And he wrote a letter to the Gideons, not knowing who they were, and he gave it to the manager at the hotel. And recently, when one of the Gideons went to bring in some new Bibles, the manager said, "Oh, by the way, here's a letter from a man who read your Bible." And this was the story that I just told to you this morning, that God's word is so powerful. And when we put it in people's lives, God does the work. See, the whole purpose of the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world. You support a missionary who works with Jewish folks, Tuvia and Alan Zaretsky, and he was sharing with me how that for 6 years he shared the love of Jesus Christ with Bernie, a Jewish entrepreneur, businessman in Los Angeles. And just a few months ago, are you ready for this? Just a few months ago, Bernie opened his heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we've heard the gospel so many times that if we're not careful, we can be inoculated to it. And I've just come today to remind you of what God is doing. Perhaps you could think of it as a shareholder's report. You've been giving, and now I'm coming back to share with you some of the results of your investment. And in a few moments, we'll have an opportunity to make an investment to once again touch people's lives around the world with the love of Jesus Christ. I've got to hasten on because for some reason the clock at this church keeps ticking. I talked with Robin Bug earlier this morning, and she's committed to sharing the love of Jesus Christ through strategic church planting. And she shared with me the story of going to the home of Lee. Lee is an 80-year-old who was till recently a Buddhist in Cambodia. She was blind. She had not seen for a number of years, and Lee just began to stop by her house and share the gospel with her. She told her the story from creation to the final judgment. And every day she would go and she would tell the stories, because Robin's a storyteller, and she would tell the story of Jesus. And every day she'd say, "Could I pray for you?" And she said, "Yes, pray that I could see." So she prayed for her healing each day. And then she went on the fourth day, and she told her some more stories of Jesus. And then she said, "Could I pray for you?" And Lee said, "Yes, pray that I accept Jesus." And that day, this 80-year-old Buddhist gave her life to Jesus Christ, and she was healed of spiritual blindness. And as she was receiving Christ Jesus, her eyes, physical eyes, were open, and for the first time in many, many years, she was able to read the Word of God for herself. Would you join me in giving God praise for who He is? And He is a powerful, powerful, powerful God. If we're going to take the whole gospel to the whole world, it requires perennial faith. And this is where we wrap it up this morning. And this is where we bring it home to each of us. It requires perennial, perennial faith. That is the kind of faith that's present, not just come and go, but in all seasons of life, perennial. It's always there. And that, notice what Jesus said, "These signs shall accompany those who believe." This morning, for the last few moments of this message, just before Pastor comes back, I want to invite you to join me this morning in extending our faith and making a faith promise commitment. Many of you have learned to tithe, to give 10% of your income to the Lord through your local church. Today, We're going to give each of us, whether you've been coming to this church for a few weeks or you've been coming for many, many, many years, we're going to give us an opportunity today to make a faith promise commitment above and beyond. So what is a faith promise commitment? It's not a pledge. It's not based on what I know I have. It's what do I believe that God can give through me? What do I believe God can give through me in the next 12 months? I was sharing this kind of message in Florida not long ago, and a lady made a faith promise commitment. It was a sizable commitment for her, a single mom. She had no idea how God would provide. But later that day, she had an appointment with her landlord to negotiate the rent for the next year. And when she arrived, the landlord said, "You know, you've been such a good renter. You paid on time. I'm going to reduce your rent for the next year." Now, what landlord do you know that reduces rent? "I'm going to reduce your rent for the next year." And the amount of the reduced rent was precisely the amount that she had made on her faith promise earlier that morning. Now, she had no idea when she took a step of faith how God would provide. I just want to encourage you today to step out of the boat and step out into the water of faith and trust God to give through you, to provide through you for the next 12 months beyond what you could have ever imagined. Why? Because the whole purpose of the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world, and everybody in the world should have a right to hear about Jesus before they die. Amen? So what's a faith promise? The faith is this. I don't know where it's coming from. The promise is, I'll give it when it comes. I can't see where it's coming from, but when it comes, that's the promise. I'll give it. So I'd like you, if you would, please, to reach into the pew in front of you and pull out a yellow card. It looks like this says, "My Faith Promise." And I'm going to invite every person who's part of this church to make a faith promise commitment. It's not the amount, whether it's a dollar a week or $10 a month or $5 or $100. It doesn't matter. But everything that's committed here will go above and beyond the tithe. We'll go to help support missionaries and ministries here and around the world. What I've shared this morning is just a taste of what God has been doing. So I would like to encourage you to take this and fill it out. My wife and I are going to make a faith promise commitment, though we're not a part of this church, but we believe in what God is doing here. Would you join? Would every one of us? It's not a matter of the amount. It's that each one of us has the opportunity of participating. And I want to encourage you, as you're leaving this morning, you can turn these in and take a can of Coke. Okay, we have some here, we have some out there. And I want you to keep this can somewhere. Don't drink it, keep it, and let it be a reminder that if Coke can, we can. After all, how many believe that Jesus is a better product than sugar water? How many believe? Does anyone know of anybody who claims to have had sins forgiven by drinking Coke? Do you know of anyone who's been healed by drinking Coca-Cola? Do you know of anyone who plans on going to heaven because they drink Coca-Cola? Now, you can get there quicker if you drink enough of it. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Would you join me in one more time giving God praise for who He is and that we get to be part of taking the gospel to the world? Pastor.
Thanks for watching. If you have any questions about what we talked about, Jesus Christ or church, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, or by email. The links are in the description.